comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this planet. Thanks for being here at the show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, that's a guarantee. And I hope you've had a wonderful weekend. And furthermore, I hope you have had a wonderful day today, the first day of the work week. And we're going to help you kick off this work week just right with, believe me, a great lineup of shows all week. Remember to subscribe to the K-Files if you haven't done that. It's our free weekly newsletter. And there are no strings attached. It's truly free. Just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you'll see the link that says K-Files. Just click that and subscribe. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Each edition has a link in it where you can unsubscribe, but most people don't. They stay with us forever. Now, as we kick off this week here at the Kevin Smith Show, we do so with a mini-series that I have entitled Kick Some More Ass. Now, that's not kick some more ass, but kick some morass. Morass is defined as confusion. If you look it up, that's what you'll find. It says that it means confusion. And I think all of us would agree that there is a great deal of confusion, or morass, mixed in with the world of the paranormal. Partly it is because of those, just a handful, who hoax and lie. And partly a handful, just a very small number of folks, who are sadly delusional. But in great measure, it is because of those who intentionally distort or restrict the flow of information. Now, we can expose the hoaxers, of course, and we do that. There's not much we can do about folks who are delusional. It's sad, but those are just the facts of life. There is much we can do about those who restrict the truth. We literally can kick some more ass by knowing who these restrictionists are and by marginalizing them and relegating them to irrelevance. Nothing infuriates people who assume they are powerful quite like being ignored, unless it's being defunded. Tonight, we look at who controls talking with ETs. There is someone who does that, you know. Someone who does control it. They are a worldwide institution. They get funding from a U.S. government agency. And I think you're going to be surprised to learn who they are, from where they operate, and who it is that actually funds them. Tomorrow night, in part two of Kick Some Morass, Robert Morningstar is going to join us to analyze what Professor Stephen Hawking recently said about communicating with extraterrestrials, as he warned us against doing that. We'll be back right after this break, and we're going to kick some more ass.
Thank you.
For a number of years, we have known that there is some type of an agreement whereby astronomers of the world are prevented from releasing just any information they want to about cosmic discoveries, unless that information has first been approved for release. But approved by who? We've heard people talk about this alleged fact on radio shows, and we've read about it on the internet, but does such an agreement truly exist, or is it just more internet rumor? If that agreement does exist, who's in charge of enforcing it? Obviously, there must be some agency, some body empowered to enforce the agreement if it actually exists. So does such a body actually exist? Well, tonight, you're going to learn that an agreement to silence the release of cosmic information does exist. And in fact, there exists more than one such agreement. I'm going to show you one and show you how it works and who is in charge of it. You're also going to learn that this agreement is enforced by an agency, the existence of which you probably had no idea at all. And I am not kidding when I tell you that it is called... Are you ready for this? Now, don't fall on the floor and start laughing. This is really the name of it. It is called the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams. Or, for short, they call it CBAT. C-B-A-T. Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams. Now, we're going to get into the meat of this in just a moment. But first, I want to bring up something that I know you're familiar with because we've talked about it here on the show. And it has to do with people talk about there is this law against having any extraterrestrial contact. And we've talked about it. And, of course, that law did exist. It was passed into law in 1965, I believe, and or somewhere right along there. I believe it was 1969, July the 16th, 1969. But it was done away with. It was repealed in 1991. Now, when they started talking about repealing this law, and then ever since the law was repealed, all of the official statements about why that law existed in the first place was it had only to do with NASA and NASA astronauts that come into contact with extraterrestrial things because we were going to the moon. And it says the official position on this is that that law simply meant that they had to submit to being quarantined to make sure that they had not picked up anything that would be dangerous to the human race. Well, that was a given anyway. Those guys were all military. And the first ones that went, they were military, and they were under orders. And if the military says you're under quarantine and you're in the military, then guess what? You're under quarantine. But that line about what that law was intended for doesn't square at all with the language of the law, and it doesn't square with what was said about that law at the time, while it was in effect. Now, that law was still in effect in 1982, and in 1982, on October 5th, 1982, Dr. Brian Clifford of the Pentagon announced that contact, now this is a guy from the Pentagon, announced that contact between U.S. citizens and extraterrestrials or their vehicles is strictly illegal. And according to him, he said, according to a law already on the books, which by the way was Title 14, Section 1211, of the Code of Federal Regulations adopted July 16th, 1969, anyone guilty of such contact automatically becomes a criminal and may be jailed for 1 year and fined up to $5,000. While this law was on the books, while this law was intact, the interpretation of this law was just that. The spin since then has been, oh, no, 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 no. We didn't expect that anybody would come into contact with alien extraterrestrials. But, this was just for NASA people that go to the moon and maybe other places. And well, that's not how the law was viewed at the time. The way the law was viewed, the way the law was interpreted at the time, was that if you come into contact with an extraterrestrial, you are a criminal. The NASA administrator is empowered, according to Dr. Brian Clifford of the Pentagon, to determine with or without a hearing that a person or object has been exposed to an extraterrestrial and impose, are you ready for this, indeterminate quarantine under armed guard, which cannot be broken even by court order. That is how the extraterrestrial law was written. And all the spin since then is just that. It's just spin. And basically, it's lies. That's the way the law was written. That's how it was interpreted. That's how the Pentagon interpreted it. And then something happened. In 1991, we were at the height of interest in things like the movie E.T. So in 1991, people began looking at that law, and they began asking this question. If, as the official statements say, there are no extraterrestrials, if there are none, why is there a law on the books that says I can be put in jail without a hearing, without a trial, I can be held in for an indeterminate period of time, and that cannot be overturned even by a court order? Why is there a law that says the courts cannot even intervene in this law? And why, if there are no extraterrestrials, why is there this law? Well, at that point, NASA and others involved in the big secrets sort of had an oops moment. And they realized the absolute sheer logic of that argument and hurriedly got this law repealed. This law, probably more than anything else the U.S. government has ever done, admits that extraterrestrials do exist, and they know it. And that is how the law was interpreted at the time. The statements you read since it was repealed? Nonsense. This is how it was interpreted at the time, as evidenced by Dr. Brian Clifford of the Pentagon. And that was in a press conference October the 5th, 1982. All right, now I told you about this organization. This organization, and we're looking primarily now at who regulates the information that astronomers can give to you, and specifically, who controls talking with extraterrestrials. Well, the organization is the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams. That's kind of an interesting title, isn't it? It's part of the International Astronomical Union. It operates under what they call Commission 6 of the International Astronomical Union. It's been in operation since 1965, and it operates out of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. Now, on their own website, it says that they are funded in part by the U.S. National Science Foundation. They are funded by services, fees for services that they provide. They are funded by membership fees, membership dues. And by the U.S. National Science Foundation. So what do we know about the U.S. National Science Foundation? Why is that important? Well, it's important, first of all, because no other government agency from the United States or any other country is mentioned. Just that one. On the National Science Foundation website, if you click on the tab that says About, you will read that the National Science Foundation, the NSF, is an independent federal agency created by Congress in 1950 to promote the progress of science, to advance the national health, prosperity, and welfare, to secure the national defense. And you'll also read that they have a budget of approximately $6.9 billion. Now, there are a couple of things in that statement that are mutually exclusive. In other words, if either one of those two things in that statement happen to be true, then the other one cannot be true. So, what are they? Well, the first one happens to be where it says that the National Science Foundation is an independent federal agency. That in itself is laughable. An independent federal agency? Now, if they were independent, there would be no such thing as congressional oversight of this agency. The fact that they are a government agency requires that there be congressional oversight. They cannot, therefore, be truly independent. But the second statement contained, the second little phrase contained within this statement on the National Science Foundation website, the second one that is a mutually exclusive statement, is where it says that their purpose is to secure the national defense. Now, by making the national defense part of their purpose for existence, they cannot possibly be truly independent. The national defense is something that is classified in every way you can imagine. Once you get into the subject of the security of national defense, you have entered levels of classification that most people cannot even imagine. So the National Science Foundation, while being involved in some genuinely wonderful scientific research and discoveries, must have a very serious component of secrecy at its highest levels. It would seem logical, I think, and I think most people would say it's logical, that if the National Science Foundation is involved in any way with securing the national defense, then there has to be. It just seems like it would be logical, and I think most people would say it's logical, that there has to be a component of very high secrecy involved with the National Science Foundation. Maybe not everything that they work on, certainly not everything they work on, and not every project that they are involved in or that they fund. However, there is that component. So anything that comes up that has anything to do with the national security, national defense, you can bet it's going to get classified. Okay, now let's get back to the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams. What is their actual function? Well, They are the official worldwide clearinghouse for new discoveries. New discoveries of comets, solar system satellites. That would mean any new planets in our solar system, any new moons in our solar system, anything in orbit in our solar system. They are the official worldwide clearinghouse for these new discoveries. Novae, supernovae, and other transient astronomical events. Well, now that's a pretty interesting and pretty wide-ranging definition, wouldn't you say? I mean, what that really gets down to is that anything in this solar system that's in orbit or that flies through this solar system as a transient astronomical event, then this Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams is in charge of the information. They are the worldwide clearinghouse. That's right off of their website. They are the worldwide clearinghouse for new discoveries of comets, solar system satellites, novae, supernovae, and other transient astronomical events. So if an astronomer were to view something, say these objects that are in orbit around the sun, can he talk about it? No. I'll show you why in a moment. If he were to discover Planet X, if he were to discover the binary twin star, the one that many have postulated must exist, many have postulated that we're in a binary star system. If he discovers any of that, can he talk about it? We'll be back right after this. Talking about this Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams. I know a lot of you, in hearing me say that, think that it is not for real. But it is. Check it out. You can look it up on the internet. They have a website, a web page, and it is very much for real. But they are the worldwide clearinghouse for new discoveries of comets, solar system satellites, novae, supernovae, and other transient astronomical events. Now think about this. Planet X, if it exists, would be a solar system satellite. Maybe it's Nibiru. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's Planet X. Regardless of what you call it, it would be a solar system satellite. So that falls under their purview. And other transient astronomical events. Now, I don't know if a twin star, if, you know, if we're in the binary system, we have a twin star that our sun is in a dance with, you know. They orbit each other. I don't know if that would fall under solar system satellites or transient astronomical events, but you can bet it falls under one of those. So astronomers worldwide have to knuckle under to this. I'll show you why. You see, this CBAT, the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams, decides what information, they monitor the information that astronomers are coming up with, and they decide on what can be released to the public regarding all these cosmic discoveries and when it can be released. They decide if something is going to be released, and they decide the timing of it. Now, astronomers worldwide have to earn a living, right? So any of these astronomers who wish to have a job and have any hope of working for a living must work for companies, groups, and agencies that rely upon grants and government funding, either from the U.S. government or from some other government. These agencies and groups must be members in good standing with the International Astronomical Union and work in accord with their principles. Otherwise, they get no funding. Now, existing in the International Astronomical Union, there is something called Commission 6. Under Commission 6 of the International Astronomical Union, you will find the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams. This organization, the CBAT, has a set of principles, as they call them. Rules is what they are. And principle number 8 is very interesting. Principle number 8 says, no response to a signal or other evidence of extraterrestrial intelligence should be sent until appropriate internal consultations have taken place. The procedures for such consultations will be the subject of a separate agreement, declaration, or arrangement. Take a look at that and let it sink in. Think about what that says. No response to a signal or other evidence of extraterrestrial intelligence should be sent until appropriate internal consultations have taken place. Why is there a rule telling astronomers not to signal, not to respond to extraterrestrial intelligence signals if such do not exist? Don't you find that a little bit interesting? I think, you know, just the logical mind would say they must know they exist and therefore have established a rule about it. Why would you create a rule that's going to lay down on top of every astronomer, professional astronomer in the world? Why would you blanket the world with this rule if such signals do not exist? Further, it says that the procedures for such consultations will be the subject of a separate agreement, declaration, or arrangement. So each time there is a signal, every time there is any evidence of extraterrestrial intelligence, then there has to be consultations before such are made public and before there's any response to these signals. And each time, the procedures for the consultations are determined, based on the way this is worded, determined at the time. It's very fluid. But there will be some separate agreement with whom? That's interesting. An agreement with whom? Or a declaration? Declaration by whom? Or arrangement? An arrangement with whom? So you see, folks, astronomers who discover anything new in the cosmos must basically just shut up about it unless and until the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams of the International Astronomical Union, which is funded by the National Science Foundation, clears them to make it public. Let's go back to the National Science Foundation for a moment and remind ourselves that on their own website, it says that it was created by Congress in 1950 to promote the progress of science, to advance the national health, prosperity, and welfare, and to secure the national defense. Remember when we were talking about this earlier, I said, if there is anything in their charter about securing the national defense, and they say that there is, it's on their website. For those who are watching on our TV channel, what you're looking at was copied and pasted right off of their website, with the exception that I highlighted where it says secure the national defense. Other than that, just the words are copied and pasted right off of their website. And if there is a component of security for the national defense, then that component necessarily is absolutely loaded up with all kinds of security classifications. So if an astronomer were actually to see Nibiru, if an astronomer were actually to see Planet X, if an astronomer were to see that other star in the binary dance with our sun, which the astronomers sort of refer to that as Nemesis, if they were to see that, he couldn't tell you. If astronomers were to detect intelligent signals or anything else that indicated there was intelligent life out in the cosmos, he could not tell you. If he broke ranks to tell you, if he broke ranks, he would basically, and this is my characterization of it, he would be decredentialed by the IAU. He would lose funding. He would lose his career. That's my opinion based on what I'm reading here. And there may be somebody that would say, well, I don't think they would do that. It's been done. Now, what happens is astronomers are finding outstanding, fabulous information almost every night. But this information is bottled. It's bottled at the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams, and only those bottles that have been deemed to not be national security in nature are shared with the public. Of course, there are implications here. It means that communications with extraterrestrials could have been going on for decades without the public ever being told about it. It could be that there have been ongoing communications for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and they haven't told us. Sometimes when we say they do this or they have not done this, people say, well, who are they? Well, tonight I'm giving you the name of two theys, three. The Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams, the International Astronomical Union, and the National Science Foundation. Now, am I saying that I have proof that they have bottled up this information? Am I saying that I can prove that they are keeping back the information about having already contacted and communicated with extraterrestrials? Well, no, I don't have proof, but there are indications. And the indication, the most recent indication, would happen to be one Dr. Lakhazar Filipov, who came out and said, we are in communication with extraterrestrials all the time.
who came out and said that they are among us and you don't even recognize them. Who came out and said some of these extraterrestrials were present at a press conference where they answered more than 30 questions put to them by the Bulgarian Academy of Science personnel. Look at what happened to that man. Look at what happened to Lakhazar Filipov. And where do you think all of that came from? Well, I'm suspecting that it came from the sources we're talking about here tonight. Or something very, very similar. It means that communications with extraterrestrials could have been going on for decades, and they haven't told us. It means that Nibiru or Planet X or our binary twin star could have been discovered, maybe even photographed, and they're holding that back from the public. They who? The Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams. The International Astronomical Union, and or the National Science Foundation, all of them in the same family tree. We'll be back. We're talking about who controls talking with ETs. And I think one of the most telling things about all of this is that there is a rule. They call it principle number 8, contained within the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams. And it says no response. You don't make a response to any signal or other evidence of extraterrestrial intelligence until there has been internal consultations. Now, I cannot prove to you, it's not possible. The documents, as far as I know, do not exist to prove to you that this consultation would be a national security consultation undertaken by the U.S. government based on a recommendation from the National Science Foundation, who's funding the CBAT. They are funding CBAT. And it is in, let's say that an astronomer were to actually see Nibiru. Maybe get some signals from the Anunnaki. Well, he can report that to CBAT. He can report that to the International Astronomical Union's CBAT. CBAT is the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams. But he can't tell you about it. All right, so here's Nibiru. And this is all just hypothetical. Here's Nibiru that has been discovered by an astronomer. Perhaps the astronomer picked up some electronic signals of some kind from there, indicating intelligent beings. He can't tell you about it. So he reports it to CBAT, who is funded by the National Science Foundation. The National Science Foundation has, as part of their charter, as we saw, to secure the national defense. Now, if they do not do something with that information in terms of passing it upline, having consultations regarding this discovery in the context of national defense. If they don't do that, do you think that this allegedly independent federal agency is going to get their $6.9 billion of funding the next year? Do you think so? They would have violated their charter if they don't tend to this securing the national defense part of their charter. So they would absolutely have to do that. They're funding, look, they're giving money to CBAT. They're funding it. So anything that comes up that has anything possibly remotely related to national security, there's got to be some mechanism in place whereby that information is passed up through the national security levels before it gets released to you. Now, as it passes up through those levels, do you think it's ever going to come back down and out to you? It's not likely. I think most people would say it's not logical that it ever would get back out of there. So, if, and I stress if, astronomers have discovered Planet X, or if, and again I stress if, they have discovered intelligent signals, then U.S. citizens are paying to be kept ignorant. You're also paying for the rest of the world to be kept ignorant of the truth. It's your tax dollars. We say the National Science Foundation funds this. Well, where do their funds come from? They come from you. So it's coming out of your pocket. You are paying to be kept in the dark. Maybe not willingly, but nevertheless, that's the case. So here tonight, we have taken a look in part one of Kicking Some Morass. We've taken a look at unraveling some of the confusion that's out there about what we're hearing from astronomers. People say, and it's been said on this show, I may have even said it at some time, I don't know. Well, if Nibiru really was out there, how come none of the astronomers around the world are talking about it? If it really is out there, surely some astronomer, in some country not friendly to the United States would have spoken up. Not a chance. Because the worldwide clearinghouse for astronomical information, for astronomical discoveries, that is the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams, operating under Commission 6 of the International Astronomical Union, funded in large part by the National Science Foundation. Not a chance. Because if they get decredentialed, they never work again. If they get decredentialed, what happens is the organization that they work for gets decredentialed. So if they're working for some organization and cause it to lose its funding, what do you think happens to them as an astronomer? They're finished. Their career is over. And then the full weight of disinformation, the full weight of this international body goes into disinformation, or could, and simply ridicule this and say, oh, you know, he's been talking to psychics or something. But there's nothing out there. Trust us. Believe us. There's nothing out there. That's the way it could work. Now, I'm not saying it has, in fact, worked that way. I don't know. But I'm saying the way it's set up and their own charter and what they say they're all about is all set up to keep you from knowing the truth. To make sure you only know the dribbles of truth that they dribble out. And you get to pay for it. Isn't that a sweet deal? You get to pay for being kept in the dark. Now, how does this kick some more ass? How does this kick? Well, the confusion should be gone now as to why we aren't being told more about what's being found out there. The confusion should be gone. You should now know, you should now understand how all of this works and why it's working that way. You should now understand that a lot of the stuff you hear in the alternative media, some of it's junk, that's true, but a lot of the stuff you hear in the alternative media is true. Lamestream media isn't going to tell you about it. They are following the same track as all of these others, like the CBAT, and that is they're going to do basically what they're told. They're going to report what they're told to report. They're going to report it how they are told to report it. And so out there in the alternative media, and that's what lamestream considers this to be. I contend we are mainstream and they are lamestream. But they say that we're alternative. But in the alternative media is where you're going to find the truth. Have you heard any mainstreamers, lame streamers, have you heard any of them give you the information I gave you tonight? No. And why? They don't want you connecting the dots. When they report, for instance, on that extraterrestrial contact law, they report on it as if it were just applying to the astronauts. And it was just because they were going to the moon. That is not the way that law was interpreted while it was a law. Official interpretation said you're a criminal if you have contact with ETs. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are going to open up the telephone lines because I think it is possible that perhaps some in our audience may have a question or a comment, and I really would like to hear what you think about all of this. Our telephone number, the main telephone number here in the studio, is 623-444-5889. Toll free in the United States and Canada. If you need to call me on the toll free line, you may do so. It is 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have an international toll free number. Tried to get one, but couldn't find one. And so what we have for you is the flash message option. You can go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And on the website, you'll see a link that says flash message. But you must be outside the USA or Canada. Inside the USA and Canada, we've got phone lines, even toll-free, that will work for you. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Marshall from You're On World USA.
Oh, okay. Marshall Masters.
Hey, Kev.
Welcome back.
Well, you wily wasco, it's good to be back.
Well, what do you think about all of this?
Well, I think you're digging into the heart of the biggest stumbling block that people have out there. And, you know, it's, gosh, I mean, how many times do you hear it? How many times do I hear it? You know, well, they would have told us, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, you know, it's... If you had 100 people in a room and you said, okay, everybody here who has absolute faith in the government, to be completely honest at all times with us, please raise your hands, you'd be hard-pressed to see your hand raised. And yet, when you talk about topics like extraterrestrials or Planet X or 2012 or any of these other issues. And then all of a sudden this skepticism disappears and people just have this idea that, well, on something like that, they would have to tell us. Now, you know, it's a strange thing. You see it all the time.
That's right.
You know, so it's a disconnect. It's what we call cognitive dissonance.
You also hear this.
Made up my mind.
You also hear, well, you know, this would be a worldwide conspiracy to keep it silent, and they couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can. You bet they can. All they have to do is have a system set up where astronomers have to be credentialed through that system in order to get their funding, and then tell them, you break the rules, you're going to lose your money, and you're going to lose your career. And just like that, you have cooperation.
Well, you know, they usually do it at different levels, and I think in my area of research with Planet X, we had posted back in May 2008 an excellent article by John DiNardo and Janice Manning called Planet X and the Mysterious Death of Dr. Robert Harrington. He was the chief astronomer, the U.S. Naval Observatory, and he died just before he went to publicize his findings on his trip to New Zealand to see if he could spot Planet X. And he actually wrote a very, very excellent paper on it back in 1988. And when he came back from New Zealand, he mysteriously and suddenly dies of esophageal cancer. And then after that, the real bizarre part of it is the obituary. And the obituary, here's a guy that has, in his short life, really done some remarkable things, a life of great achievement, and yet the his obituary is focused on his disappointment with his Planet X research. Well, you know, the wife didn't write it. Matter of fact, his wife felt that he was murdered, as many people felt he was murdered. But what I can tell you as a Planet X researcher is when Harrington died, so did the entire discussion of the Nemesis star, which was at that time the popular theory of us being in a binary star system where the companion sun was an unborn brown dwarf. Or, as Carl Sagan pointed out in his book on the topic, that it was an extremely large comet. But there was a tremendous amount of interest in it because it was explaining why the mechanics of our solar system work the way that they do.
Marshall, I got to ask you a question here. Now, you said, before we get too far away from this, you said that his wife was of the opinion that he, Dr. Harrington, had been murdered. But you told us he died of you told us he died of cancer.
Well, you know, the circumstances of his death were the onset was very sudden, very mysterious. I mean, one minute the guy's climbing mountains with an 8-inch telescope in New Zealand. Next thing you know, he's all of a sudden, boom, he's dying of esophageal cancer, which, you know, there's another convenient aspect to that being that, you know, how can you talk? So his paper wasn't published. He wasn't able to talk. He dies before anything can come out. There were a lot of folks that really, it was so suspicious and so ugly that what it did was it sent a huge chill through astronomy at that time. And when you look in the documentation that we have a good deal on our site, and Greg Jenner did a fabulous job on it. And you could go in and go to the Jenner files, and the Jenner files will definitely show you a huge amount of interest in it, but also in part one, which deals with the articles. And you can see that there was a great deal of discussion going on. And then with Harrington's death, boom, like somebody throws a switch. And it sent a signal. It just said, this is a death topic. All right? It's not a death star. It's a death topic. And then after that, you know, to reinforce it, they come in and control the funding. You know, it's the old adage of the golden rule reversed. In other words, you as the gold makes the rules. And that's the way it's working.
I bet most people listening to the show had no idea that something called the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams even existed.
Yeah,
I bet most people have never heard of that. But it's something all the astronomers know.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got to know where, you know, it's, you got to know it because that's where you butter your bread.
Mm-hmm.
So
what do you think? You think Harrington was murdered?
My personal opinion in reviewing all of this is that I think it was an assassination, yes. And that's, you know, I would have to say, in fairness, that's my own assessment of it. You know, these things, governments are good at keeping secrets. You know, mm-hmm. That's a false notion, that they cannot keep secrets. If they want to keep a secret, boy, they'll put a lid on it. But it's really consistent with the other tactics that you see. You know, Roswell, we published an anthology called Alien Security, and I took a story by Maurice Osborne, but then I put a battle book to the back of it for people that really want to take it on. If you look at ufology, and, you know, sometimes it just, it reminds me of this endless, ceaseless replay of the O.J. Simpson trial, where they just keep, everyone is just heaping evidence on the table, heap after heap after heap, and nobody says, aha, there's the gotcha, you got the smoking gun, we can convict. No, O.J. walks, because, you know, in the bottom, in the final analysis, that jury was, had, you know, they wanted to put somebody else on trial, not O.J. Simpson, but the L.A. Police Department, and that's exactly how it worked out. So when you look at these other topics, you know, I look at ufology, and you don't have to really work that hard to get people off target. That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to move people's attention off target, and a millimeter is as good as a mile.
Well, and one of the things, we live in a soundbite society, and one of the things that is very, very useful is to say something that sounds smart, and people go, oh, yeah. For instance, in extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Hogwash. It would be an extraordinary claim if someone claimed the president, any president, not just this one, the president, has committed a murder. That would be an extraordinary claim. Now, The evidence it takes to prove that is exactly the same as the evidence it would take to prove you committed the murder.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Extraordinary claims do not require extraordinary evidence. There is no such thing as extraordinary evidence. There is evidence.
That's right. But it's also, you know, it's part of the disbelief mechanism. And, you know, cognitive dissonance, or in other words, you know, don't confuse me with facts, I've already made up my mind, is a very, very powerful force. And as researchers, we come across it all the time. Now, there's people immediately will, almost like on a knee-jerk basis, give me proof. I want, you know, incontrovertible proof of this, and I want incontrovertible proof of that. And they start making all of these demands before they've asked one question. And they want someone else to do all of their homework for them, someone else to, and then, you
well,
know.
See, what you do at that point is you punch them in the mouth and say, Zontar made me do it. Marshall, I got to run along. I thank you for the call. It's been very interesting.
You're most welcome.
Thank you much,
Kev.
All right, bye-bye. Wow. Well, what about that? The death of an astronomer, Robert Harrington. Officially died of esophageal cancer, but had no signs of cancer till he got back from New Zealand and suddenly gets it and suddenly dies from it. Interesting. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, this is Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Kevin Smith, you do too much thinking. We're going to have to increase your dose of fluoride.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. You know, I knew about these laws, the laws that were on the books. I seem to remember reading that in a Jim Mars book somewhere.
About the extraterrestrial contact law.
Yeah, I think it was an alien agenda that he made a. That he had made a mention of that. My goodness, it's already been over 2 years since I read that. Wow.
Well, see, the same question about that applies to this Principle 8. The question about that law is, if there are no extraterrestrials, why did you make a law and make it a crime to be in contact with them?
No kidding.
Okay. You know, and if there are no extraterrestrials out there, then why do you have Principle 8 at CBAT that says don't respond to any signals you get or to any evidence of extraterrestrial intelligence?
Well, here's the thing, Kevin. Here's my little take on this. I think like they can't release this to the media. Obviously, it's illegal to do that. They can't do that according to that. They can't release it on the internet, with the exception of the few whistleblowers stuff that you do get on the internet, stuff through WikiLeaks and through. Some YouTube videos and other productions like Camelot and whatnot. They try to get some of that stuff out there. So, you know, I think there's another way that they like to release this information, and you can't, and so they cannot, nobody can claim that they don't tell you the truth, but I think they do it through the means of fiction.
Well, I think some of it is, yeah.
Yeah, I've always said the best way to discredit anything is to fictionalize it. You know, hidden in plain sight. That way, people will not believe it. You could, like,
I think people are smart enough these days that they see through that. I mean, let's take, for instance, the movie E.T.
Yeah.
Okay, now, there will be some people that say, oh, that's all just fiction. Okay, let's take the book Moby Dick. That's all fiction, too. Does that mean whales don't exist?
Exactly. But I'll give an example. Let's say that we take the New World Order, for example. You know, Big Daddy Bush, he talked about it all the time, and New World Order, and a whole bunch of other big name people have been talking about it. But in the late 90s, if you talked to people about the New World Order, they told you watched too much professional wrestling because you had Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man going around with the New World Order all over the place. Mm-hmm. And you talk to people about, nowadays, you talk to people about Earth crust displacement, that Charles Hapgood proved did happen on his planet. Ones like that Jodor Santayana also claims happens using the precessional cycles. You had those like Graham Hancock that have cataloged this back in the 90s, the Flemeths here in Canada. But now if you talk about a geological, the Earth crust displacement theory, they say, well, you're just believing everything the movie 2012 tells you. And I've already had that reaction. That's why I think a lot of the truth, I think they let out a lot of the truth and they deliberately put it in fiction, but they use that as a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. First of all, you cannot say that they have not disclosed the information. They're not hiding anything. They're putting it right out in the open for anybody. But at the same time, to the masses of mushrooms out there, you try to point it out to them, they won't believe it because it's fiction.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, it really doesn't matter whether they believe it or don't.
I know.
Because whatever is real,
it's real.
Is real whether you believe it or not.
But you see, it's not accepted to exist because it's in fiction.
That's okay.
That's the problem.
That's okay. When a spaceship sets down on top of them and squishes them like a bug, they'll believe it just before the lights go out.
Well, you know... I think you could probably put a gray and you stick it in front of somebody, and there's some of them out there that are so mushrooms that they'll just believe it's a kid in a Halloween costume.
Yeah.
You know.
Mhm.
It's
if a real UFO lands, the door opens, and a creature comes out. Maybe it looks like us. Maybe it looks like a gray. Maybe it's a reptilian. the majority of the people that see it are probably going to think it's a Hollywood stunt.
Or they'll put their eyes in front and said, I need some more magic mushrooms so I can go back to being a mushroom.
Kevin, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. And if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use our flash message option, and you do that by going to my website and click on where it says flash message, and then you can send us your comment or your question. All right, back to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hey. Yeah, it's it's a shame about that doctor. You hear about quite a few scientists coming up with some weird stuff, disappearing and dying. especially microbiologists or whatever they are.
Microbiologists?
I don't know what you would call the chemists that work with anthrax and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a whole bunch of them have disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think though, with this law, I mean, just like that doctor, I mean, let's say, I would spy Nibiru coming, and it's basically, spells the end of the world, my dilemma is going to be not whether these guys, are going to cut off my paycheck or kill me. It's whether, I want to tell the rest of the world that, doomsday's coming, what I mean?
Well, if you see it or if I see it.
See something like that, what are they going to scare me with? Am I going to die now or later?
Okay, look, if you see it or I see it, we're free to tell anybody we want because we're not professional astronomers. We can be discredited easily. Okay? But professional astronomers, if they want to keep working, if they want to feed their kids next week, they want to pay their mortgage, they're going to knuckle under to the rules. And the rules say, shut up. And
if you know that, you ain't going to need to feed them next week, or whatever, because this thing's coming.
Well, it hasn't. It has not destroyed the world ever in the past. We're here.
True, but, I'm just saying, though, that, on the far end of it, they really don't have no control over you. It's the control over yourself.
Well, that is true. Powerful people are only as powerful as the rest of us let them be. And only people who have actual control over you are people that you give control over you. However, because we need a paycheck, we need to feed our kids, we need to make the house payment, we need to make the car payment, we got to pay for insurance and got to pay for the electricity and the water and all of that stuff. Everybody needs a paycheck. Here's a professional astronomer who spent his life getting his education and credentials. He is just not going to walk away from that just so he can say, I told you so, and have his career ruined. And, it's not like he's going to leave that job and go to another job in astronomy. If he does this, he's leaving astronomy. And furthermore, he may be leaving this life. That's a possibility. Terry, I thank you for the call, and you always bring us something cool to think about. I appreciate it. 623-444-5889, and that's the main number, and the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. Now, we have a flash message from Anthony in the Netherlands, and I'm going to get to that when we come back from break. We have a break coming up in about a couple of minutes, but I don't want to get into this until we get back because it's kind of long. So we have time for your call right now. What we're talking about here is tonight kicking some more ass. Not more ass, but morass. M-O-R-A-S-S. Okay? kicking some morass, some confusion, disentangling ourselves from all the confusion about, well, if all this stuff was really out there, why don't the astronomers tell us? I've been asked that about, you know, well, why don't astronomers tell us about these UFOs that Ed Grimsley tells us about and that he's videotaped with his night vision and that literally thousands of people have seen through his night vision goggles? Why don't the astronomers tell us if that's really going on? Folks, I showed you tonight why they cannot and why they will not. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in rainy Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
I suppose you could use some rain right now with your temperature down there. But.
Yeah, we could.
Did you have a chance to watch that documentary by Stephen Hawking last night?
No.
Did you? No. Well, I was a little bit surprised. At first, I thought it was going to be he's never been a real fan of the alternative views, but one of the things I found interesting about it, I thought it was well done, and one of the things that was interesting about it was he spent a whole section talking about the possibility that the sun could be used as a stargate or a wormhole.
Okay, Ryan, hang on through the break, but we have to step away for a couple of minutes. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let's go back to the telephone where I hope we still have Ryan waiting. Are you still with us, Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay. You were saying that Stephen Hawking made some statements that you found encouraging.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty well-done documentary. It wasn't a poo-poo documentary. Mm-hmm. He talked about if there was an advanced civilization that wanted to come to this galaxy that they could set up objects around the sun and harness the sun as a stargate or a wormhole. And at that point, I kind of said, wow, this is kind of right along the lines of what we talk about on this show. So I thought it was kind of fascinating, and I just wanted to see what you thought about that.
Well, I think that sort of indicates that when I say we are mainstream and the people that claim to be mainstream media are really lamestream, and they say we're fringe, we're alternative, we're really mainstream, and they're going to have to scramble to catch up to the truth if they can even recognize it. It's been so long since they've had a passing acquaintance with truth, but they're going to have to scramble to catch up with it. We're already there, and that has actually been said, that the sun could be used as a wormhole. There is a theory, Ryan, and you may be aware of this, the theory that when you have a black hole, it's like a tornado, like a funnel, and the other end of that black hole is a star. So it's a black hole on one end and a star on the other. Therefore, what you got really is a wormhole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll let the other callers call in, but the thing you're talking about, the astronomers, there might be a lot of astronomers that are sitting on some pretty incredible information that they just kind of kept to themselves, and they didn't send it to this agency because they would lose all their funding. And if anybody's trying to pay rent and pay the kids, they wouldn't want to lose all their income from this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
but,
true.
I'll let the other callers call in, and that story that was circulating around the news with the Stephen Hawking thing. You know, that's the thing. We live in a 24-hour news cycle, and it's mm-hmm. like 24 hours later. Now it's gone. It's completely gone.
So. It'll be back tomorrow night, though. That's what we're talking about tomorrow night. So be sure you tune in. Thanks for the call, Ryan. Okay, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. I want to get to this flash message that has come from Anthony in the Netherlands. He says, good evening, Kevin. Let this be a warning to everyone who listens to this, quote, law. Even states something more alarming, and that's that this so-called who sees itself above the law or any other men. And that's what I call a great performance of insanity. Can you imagine these same people to be in charge of the most important weapon against us that they have? Food in your fridge, your health system, your military, police, judges, and the banks. Don't eat their food or use their medicine or anything they create. Don't serve or breathe their idiot snob life. We need realistic people now, and they need to stop listening to these idiots. This bureau, the CBAT, has nothing more than or is nothing more than a hired group of idiots to serve some even bigger idiots. You don't need any more proof of this law really, that this law really exists. What's next? They will tell us that they have ET technology and NASA was a fake institute. Keep up the good work, Anthony. Excuse my French. Anthony, thank you for the flash message. Yeah, here's the deal. I would agree that they are idiots within a certain context. Now, they're certainly very, very smart people. Look, the people that make up CBAT, the people that make up the IAU, the people that make up the National Science Foundation, these are smart people if you're talking about IQ. But the idea that they have to have control of the release of information, I don't think that's too smart. And if it's astronomical, if it's scientific, release the information. Let the world know. Telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889, or toll-free at 888-223-4599. I think in looking at the whole context of what we've talked about here tonight, you know, the whole idea of this show every night, but we really focused on it here tonight, but the whole idea of this show is always to kick some more ass. Morass is a word that means confusion, and the whole idea is to shine enough light on enough topics to get rid of at least enough confusion for us to navigate. And so there should be no confusion in your mind after tonight. If you're ever going to hear about Planet X, you're going to hear about it from what they refer to as the fringe media, because they've got it all sewn up over in the lamestream media. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
Good show. Enjoying it very much.
Thank you.
It's interesting to hear Marshall call in as well.
Yeah, and he dropped that information on us about Dr. Robert Harrington. You know, now that's bombshell information, really.
Yes. Sad.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll probably hear more of such information coming up over the next few months.
I think probably we will.
Yes.
And, you know, I could be wrong about Dr. Filipov, but I think that he ran into exactly what I've been describing here tonight, and that's what happened to him. He ran into talking about astronomical things that CBAT doesn't allow people to talk about.
I think that when you mention something of the nature of your show, it becomes an astronomical thing to those mindless mushrooms that listen.
Could be. Could be. However, I have to admit, not too many mushrooms listen to my show.
No, but they actually do stumble upon it sometimes.
They do. That's true.
And, you know, the information that you're beginning to receive and rebroadcast now is definitely causing waves.
Yes, I know. I know.
Got your surfboard handy?
Yo, my surfboard's always ready.
Have a good night, Kevin.
All right, thank you.
Cool glass of lemonade, buddy.
All right, have a good evening. 623-444-5889, toll-free at 888-223-4599. I really cannot stress enough how important alternative news media is. Now, you know, you expect me to do that because I'm alternative media. The Kevin Smith Show always has been alternative media. And next month, we will have been at, on the 11th of next month, we will have been at this now for 10 years. And every single show for 10 years, we have been alternative media by choice. But I can't stress to you enough how important alternative media is. You're not going to hear lamestream media explain what I explained to you tonight. And it's documented. You can look it up yourself. But they're not going to do it. They're not going to dig it out. They're not going to explain it. And the reason they're not is because they're all part of the same club. They're all part of the globalist elitist club, and they're not going to do it. They're not going to expose it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is John, the geophysicist from Conroe.
Hello, John.
You know, I had an idea relative to contacting, say, an extraterrestrial intelligence.
Okay.
Okay, the idea is, you know, something simple as a laser pointer. And if you want to send a signal, with pi to 10 decimal places. In other words, just pulsed. Let them know that you know what pi is. That should be a pretty good signal that you are, you know, a sentient being.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously with a laser pointer. And just an idea. Something that I thought that could be combined with something as simple as an old rotary phone dialer, you know, with a laser, you know, a green laser that would allow us to...
In other words, you use the dialer to create pulses in the laser.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you dial 3, you get 3 pulses.
That's right. Uh-huh. Pi to 10 decimal places.
Yeah, that might work.
No, that... Well, I mean, apparently there have been crop circles out there.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if when decoded, and I saw one that was decoded pi to 10 decimal places, which was kind of impressive. I'm going, you know, that was a sign to me. I don't know who did it, but there was a signal there. So in the same manner, if we were to communicate with, you know, a pulsed laser, pi to 10 decimal places, it would signal that we're not only intelligent, but perhaps ready to talk. So, anyway, just my thought. And
well, it may work. Why don't you try it, and tell us what happens.
I do it all the time. They haven't picked me up yet, so.
You actually do this?
I actually do this.
Now, do you suspect that the laser would have to be pointed in a specific direction for them to be able to pick it up?
Well, I figure that, you know, if they're as sophisticated as we think they are,
mm-hmm.
they will detect the signal. Because it's all about frequency, and they're going to hear it, or see it, or detect it one way or another. Just a thought.
Okay, if you ever get contact on this, I want you to be sure and let us know. All right, thanks, John. We got to go to break. I appreciate the call. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back, and we're on final approach, but we still have a little bit of time left, and we can take another call or two, 623-444-5889, or toll-free, 888-223-4599. Let there be no confusion about why you're not hearing from astronomers about any of these things that the regular public reports. Now, we have a flash message from Umberto in Mexico. And to Umberto, buenas noches. All right. He says, hi, Kevin. What do you think about Phobos and the gold rush to get whatever is there? Richard Hoagland is talking with Mr. Hughes in a radio interview about it. How does the censure about ET theme relate to this? We're talking about supercomputers or chips in hollow Phobos. How can they talk so freely about it? Because they're not astronomers. They're not part of the official science establishment. And you and I can talk about it. If somehow I could go to Phobos and see for myself that it's hollow and that there's supercomputers in it or whatever, and come back. I am not a scientist. I'm not part of that system. I can talk about it, and they can laugh at it in public. The established science guys can laugh at it in public, ridicule it, tell everybody I'm nuts, it's not true. And because I'm not a scientist and because I have no credentials in that, then the general public will say, yeah, Smith has lost his mind. So that's how the general public, you and I, can talk about these things. Incidentally, rush to get gold from Phobos or to get gold from Mars, and there is gold on Mars, lots of it. Folks need to know the mineral rights on every heavenly body except Earth are owned by three people. The mineral rights on every heavenly body have already been staked out and are owned by three people. If you doubt it, check out the Universal Mineral Lease Registry, and you'll read the story about that. There are people that say, oh, nobody can own that. There's a space treaty. It says that nations cannot own any part of any planet, asteroid, or heavenly body. It says it prohibits nations from owning, not individuals. And they filed their claim over 20 years ago. It has never been challenged. And it can't be challenged now because the time limit for challenging has run out. So the mineral rights on every heavenly body, on the moon, on Mars, on Uranus, on Venus, on Mercury, Jupiter on Titan, one of the moons of Saturn. I mean, all of them. Any mineral rights, three people own them. How about that? So, could that be enforced? I guess it would be pretty hard to enforce it. But it legally, they own it. So maybe someday these three gentlemen will be excessively wealthy. That's a possibility. Maybe they will be excessively, and I mean excessively wealthy. Imagine if you owned all the gold on one planet. Even if that planet didn't have much relative to its size, that would be a lot of gold, wouldn't it? But there are some very, very rich gold veins on Mars that they already know about, and probably on some other planets. But the mineral rights, they are already owned. You can stake out a lease of mineral rights with them, but check it out. It's the Universal Mineral Lease Registry, and might surprise you who those three folks are. You know at least one of them. He's been a guest on this show. Confusion. Is it real? Is it not real? If it were real, we would be hearing about it from official sources. Well, I've stripped away the confusion tonight by showing you that you're never going to hear about it from official sources. So if you use that as a reason to say there is no Planet X, and I'm not saying you should believe there is a Planet X. I'm saying if you use the fact that credentialed astronomers are not talking, if you use that to say there is no Planet X, well, whatever legs you thought you had to stand on are now gone, because I've shown you how the official machine of astronomy says they can't tell you, and they won't tell you. So is there a Planet X? Is there a Nibiru? Is there a Nemesis? Well, I don't know. But I do know that looking to official channels in astronomy is never going to produce a straight answer on that, because they're prohibited from telling you the truth. They're prohibited. They cannot talk about it. So they're not going necessarily to lie to you. What they are going to do is not talk at all about it. So if any of them have seen it, you're never going to know it. What about, well, if there were any signals coming in that were from extraterrestrials and their intelligence signals, well, why haven't we heard about that from any of the scientists? Well, the confusion should be gone. We have kicked some more ass tonight, and the confusion should be gone, because in every scientific discipline there is a structure like what I showed you in astronomy, and they can't talk to you about it. And you might say, well, they're free. No, they are not. Freedom is an illusion for these folks. They wish they were free, but they're not free. They're not free to discuss what they have discovered. And so alternative media, where we get to hear from the whistleblowers, and there are a few, where we get to hear from people on the inside of something, alternative media is vitally important if we're going to know anything at all. I can give you example after example after example of mainstream media, lamestream media, absolutely getting it wrong, even on the stuff they do report about. Absolutely get it wrong. Yeah, that's not every story, but it's a significant number. So support alternative media, okay? By the way, get your copy of Captain Ruppelt's book. That is a book from an insider. If there's ever been an insider on the subject of UFOs, Captain Edward J. Ruppelt is that insider. And you want to get your hands on that. We have it available as an ebook. It's out of print, but you can get it as an ebook and download it immediately. And be sure you get your hands on that. Very interesting and a great mystery about his death as well. The timing of his death, that's very interesting. And also in light of the three additional chapters that were tacked onto his book in the same year that he mysteriously died at age 38. So be sure you get your hands on that. It may not be available forever, but it is available on my site right now. It's called The Report on Unidentified Flying Objects. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you wish to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow night when we kick some more ass. So long, everybody.